is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola, and our guest today is Christopher Fogarty. His website is irishholocaust.org. And you know, there are some other websites, and one that I happen to come upon, it is called Ireland's Great Famine, 1845 to 1849. And it's wesleyjohnston.com. And he really, you know, every single chapter has the word famine in it. Every single one. Do you know anything about this gentleman?
No, that's a new one to me. I know about most of them. But for people who might say, well, why didn't the Irish stand up for themselves? Why didn't they rebel? And the answer to that is, at that time, the British Empire Army, including a number of rifle regiments of the sepoys, Indian-born in India, including all of them, they had 137 regiments. But 69 of them were used to remove Ireland's food. That's a little over half of the total Empire Army at the time. It took that many to remove Ireland's food. So the resistance must have been huge. And so there you have the answer to that question. There was overwhelming, massive force used to remove Ireland's food. In fact, there were more troops used to remove Ireland's food by a long shot than the number required, for example, to take India and to hold it. And India at the time included Bangladesh and what is now Pakistan. So it took more British regiments to perpetrate their crimes in Ireland than it did anywhere else in the world. And it's also important to notice that there were a few Irish regiments at the time. Of the indigenous Irish regiments, none of them were used to remove Ireland's food. Because obviously, they wouldn't be trusted to do so. They were in Malta and India and other places at the time.
Well, that is interesting, and of course they had guns. And did the Irish have guns? Did they?
No. No, it was a felony crime to have a weapon at the time for the Irish. And just 20 years before, it was a felony crime for parents to send their children to school. It was a felony crime to be a teacher. Earlier on, so many people responded by sending their children to the continent for an education that was made a felony crime also. The purpose of this anti-education list of laws was to render the Irish fit only to hew wood and draw water.
Well, of course, if you don't have an educated population, then they won't know what to resist. They won't. They won't have the capacity to resist because without education, we're much easier to control. And of course, in this country, the children are forced basically to attend public school. You know, for the most part. And although I think there are a lot of people who are homeschooling, which I very much endorse, but there's such a dumbing down in the government schools that basically we're in the same situation as the Irish were back in the 1840s.
Yes, we actually have got to concentrate more on the hard subjects, on the so-called difficult subjects. The scientific one. That's what'll bring America back to what it has had, and I'm hoping that that's done soon, and that
yes.
The government allows the people to have more say in the education of their children. It is indeed the education of the children by which the government can maintain more control. If they control the education, they can control what the people are thinking, and that's where we are today.
Sure. Plus, you have to figure in. The entertainment business, the sports business, the new, you know, the all of that, the media. All righty, we do have to take a 3-minute break. We will be right back, and we'll take some calls.
Hey, Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
If you are a vendor dealer who sells any equipment or service that costs more than $15,000, we can help you make the sale through our low-cost lease finance programs. We are good in all 50 states, including Canada, and we have a very wide credit window. Call Bob Neuf today at 888-639-2621 and let us explain in more detail how we can help you make more sales. Call Bob Neuf today, 888-639-2621.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there's only one, Pure Effect Ultra. It features advanced anti-radiation technology and is constantly rated 5 stars as the number one system for reduction of fluoride, drug and chemtrail residues, heavy metals, and more. It raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and provides virtually instant clean water on demand, all while using no electricity. Want to learn more? Visit PureEffectFilters.com. That's PureEffectFilters.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Christopher Fogarty. His website is irishholocaust.org. Can you talk about the toll? Tell us about the numbers. And you have this on your website, and you compare the 1841 census of Ireland.
I made some corrections to it. That came from Captain Wynne in County Clare at the time. So what I have done is use the official records, made the required correction that everyone acknowledges must be made, but nobody seems to do, and then plotted its population increase that had occurred over time, and then show what it would have been without the starvation at the end of that time. I show 5.2 million were murdered. Actually, 5.16 million people were murdered. Since then, and in my book, that number is being reduced slightly by a couple of 100,000. In discussing it with a number of professors in Ireland, they have suggested that I make it absolutely undeniable. And of course, I agree with them completely. We cannot have any errors in this, or we're doomed, because the enemies of it, you see, will try to destroy everything else in it. So it seems that about 4.9 million people were murdered in those years, from 1845 to 1850.
Oh, my. Now, typically, we hear that a million people died, and a lot of people left Ireland. which they probably would not have done had it not been the genocide that was going on.
Of course, yes. And of those who died, a large percentage of them died on the way, either at sea or shortly after arriving, particularly along the banks of the St. Lawrence in Quebec and Montreal. Shocking death rates there. But it's just hard to believe that the Irish government, now in response to a date that we have, let me back off and say, in November the 3rd, 1845, a 22-man delegation of the most powerful Irishmen in Ireland went to visit the British Viceroy in Ireland, Lord Heytesbury, asking him to stop the at gunpoint food removal. And also asking that all breweries and distilleries be shut down in order to save grain for the people. He responded to them by reading to them about potatoes from a paper in his hand. And then after he finished reading the paper, he bowed them out, got rid of them. So there we have that date is celebrated today, has been for about 15 years now, by people who are doing two things. They're commemorating the Irish Holocaust, and they're also commemorating the beginning date of the famine lie, which Lord Heytesbury began on November 3rd, 1845. But now the Irish government has responded to this growing commemoration of anniversary date of November 3rd by setting up a competing date in May for to commemorate, quote, commemorate, unquote, the, quote, famine, unquote. So there you have the Irish government actively involved in competing with the true date, the date that should remain as the date to commemorate for two things, the beginning, the official beginning, acknowledged beginning of the starvation of Ireland, and the beginning of the big lie cover-up. So that's what the Irish government have done. And that's what the Irish president in Boston yesterday referred to, that May is the commemoration time. There's some date, I don't know which date it is. Is what the Irish government is creating to compete with the November 3rd actual commemoration day. It's very sad.
Yes, it is. This whole thing is very sad. We do have some callers. Let's take Chris in Missouri. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for taking the call. Yes, there. Question, if your guest was familiar with Michael Tesserian, he's an author and researcher, and he's written about the systematic destruction of the whole Irish civilization that started hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And I was also wondering if there's any old records in Gaelic detailing this going back, you know, quite further in time.
Yes, there are many. In fact, I have quite a library that I've amassed over the last 30 years or so, and maybe sometime we could get together in both languages. But of course, the Irish language was officially suppressed. The children were punished in school for using the occasional Irish word when the government started setting up schools again. As you know, schools were prohibited by law up until 1828. It was a felony crime to educate. So in 1829, actually, that law was abolished, and people were allowed to teach their children. And the British government, then in control of Ireland, actually began the setting up of schools in Ireland. But there was a punishment for anyone who used Irish, and there's not much published in Irish from those years, because the entire establishment in Ireland was British. There were no Irish survivors in the commercial life either, or in the professional world either, except those who had been acknowledged by the British as somehow complicit with them. But what was the name of that author you mentioned, please, Michael?
Tesserian. It's T-S-A-R-I-O-N.
I'll be looking it up, and I appreciate that.
No problem. Yes, he's. I think his mother's from India and his father's from Ireland, so it's a... He studies a lot of the esoteric research, but he did a lot of research on going back to the Druidic time and the wars that the British have waged on the Irish and basically to wipe out their advanced civilization for a long, long time.
Yeah. Actually, it was 800 years of genocide that varied only in its intensity. half the Irish population was wiped out three times, once under Elizabeth I, once under Cromwell, and once under Victoria.
Can I ask one quick question? I was wondering if you'd done any research as far as the Irish leaders that are in collusion with this and this Irish government. Do their bloodlines go back to the Anglo-Saxon? I mean, are they only like Irish just in the fact that they were placed there? Or, I mean, has anyone ever done any research on their bloodline, how people would do that to their own?
Yeah, I must say I'm not inclined to follow bloodlines when it comes to political ideas. I don't think that genetics has a whole lot to do with it. In fact, it has anything to do with that. I think it's mostly bribery and blackmail in Ireland today. Though there are plenty of people of the old ascendancy still remaining in Ireland, but the vast bulk of them were repatriated by the British government starting about 1900, and they're pretty much all gone by 1920.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much. It's a great show. I'm very interested. I'm part Irish myself, so I'm really interested in this today.
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
All righty. Let's take Werner in New Brunswick. Werner, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Look, more and more the picture starts taking a shape that we more and more are able to identify who were the bad players through the centuries that have created so much misery all over the world among so many people. You know, a few hundred years ago, it was the North American native people. Now, then there were the Irish, then there were the people in the colonial empire, like in India and in Africa. And now, well, and in between, we had the two world wars, and we are trying to shed light into who were the instigators behind. And there are the Irish famine, artificially created, what I understand now. Then the clearances in the Scottish Highlands. And it always points back to the same instigator in that great city.
I happen to agree with that. And I must say it's very important that we do not consider that all English people are somehow culpable.
No, some of the English people were just as much the victims
precisely
of this hierarchy of bloodsuckers.
Yes. Yes, that's I hate to think in those terms, and yet that's what the facts seem to reveal, that they were a small group of people have somehow were in charge of Britain for a very long time. They lost control after the Second World War, but they seem to have resumed control again and are now completely backed by their compatriots in the United States government, which is doubly sad.
And now they are a combined force, and they have been creating, especially now the last few decades, hell for the people in the Arab and in the Muslim countries.
Yes, they're the new whipping boys. It's so desperately sad. And there's almost no escape. Yes, go ahead.
And I would say if there would be any honor left in the so-called royal family, they would give their possessions away in just as a token to make restitutions for the crimes that have been done by their family clique.
Yes, yes, I agree. By the way, the very British lord who evicted my great-grandparents from their farm in Ballykeely, Douro County, Leash, Queen's County at the time. They moved, they wandered around facing death, and they were allowed to build some sort of a shelter beside the landlord's gallows outside the town of Douro. And they survived there, and then the next child born, my grandfather, was born down in a little cabin on Chapel Street in Douro. But he later then went on. When he became 18, he joined the British Army and helped to do to the Maoris in New Zealand and the Aborigines in Australia and to the people in India what his regiment had done to the people of Ireland earlier. Now, one sister of his, died going to or from the local post office to pick up his army pay on which they survived. They were there and rough.
Gentlemen, we do have to take a 3-minute break. Werner, feel free to stay over the break. We'll be right back.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Christopher Fogarty. His website is irishholocaust.org. And Werner from New Brunswick was our caller. Are you still there, Werner?
I'm still there.
To complete my response to your mention about the small clique in England that runs everything, the descendant, the lord, descendant of the same lord who evicted my ancestors in 1836, he took his winnings, the amount of money he was given for his huge estate, 60,000 acres in County Leash, went over to England, and now his descendant, another lord, is living on their estate in England, and he would be among those who are still perpetrating the same kind of thing that they did 160 years ago. And so there you have the whole list of so-called nobles in Britain seem to be the problem. And in fact, the British royal family and their relatives, according to a map I saw some years ago in a British newspaper, own 29% of the land surface of England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. 29% of the land surface. That's a shocking percentage of the wealth of that part of the world.
I understand they are the biggest landowner in Germany, too, and they are the biggest property owners worldwide.
Wow, I didn't know that. There was a time when the Queen of England owned much of the Illinois Central Railroad, that runs from Chicago to New Orleans. But I think that's not true any longer.
Well, but when you said about your family history, you know, that they then joined the militaries, same thing is still going on, especially in North America, you know.
Yes.
Young fellas, they don't have any job opportunities, and they get bedazzled by the fancy uniforms and by the glorifications with the mainstream media of the war and by falsifying the history.
Yes.
And so they get suckered in to join the militaries, and we see what they are doing right around the world.
Indeed, and they're glorified for so long as they stay healthy. But if they lose a leg, all of a sudden they're not so glorified any longer. They get
thrown under the bus.
Yes, all of them. It's so desperately sad.
And I would say it might be worthwhile to the listeners, you know, to pester the mainstream media to find a report and bring balanced reporting and refer to your documentation, you know, to do their homework before
there's,
they...
There's a problem, however. It's not the reporters. It's the people, the editors, and the people who tell the editors what to do. That's the problem.
Yeah, but as I say, you know, they have to go... basically, their feet have to be put to the fire to finally grow some backbone.
Yes, Well, one can see how the news media can become intimidated, but when the FBI were framing us some years ago, and they did frame me twice and my wife once, after it was over and we had proven in federal court that the FBI had perpetrated all these crimes against us, we couldn't get a lawyer in America to take our case, a watertight case, against the FBI for damages. Because they too, the entire legal establishment, are also either complicit or are intimidated, terrorized, of being attacked by the FBI themselves. And, of course, also by the IRS. By the same time that the FBI were perpetrating their crimes against us, they got the IRS to claim that I owed some $69,000 from a time working in El Salvador when there was no IRS requirement at the time. In order to get Americans down there, they were... any income there, you had to pay Salvadoran tax, but not U.S. But nevertheless, despite that, they robbed me for years until I got an honest agent, and he made a partial recovery. But the people are intimidated by a combination of FBI and IRS. That combination, and they do work, they do commit their crimes together, and the legal establishment knows that, and that makes it very difficult to get justice in political cases in the United States.
And every so often, some of the people that are targeted, they commit, suicide.
Yes, there's a lot of that. I think to be attacked by the FBI, I think, is a life-shortening experience. Of the four of us who were attacked, two are now dead, including the youngest of the four of us is now dead. Richard Jewell, who was framed down in Atlanta Olympics by the FBI, he died very young. I think it really is the tension that creates.
As I say, it might be worthwhile to compile a list and basically a statistics about the life expectancy of the people that confront the bad players.
Yes, I think it would prove what I've just said, but it's hard to get a list together because they're just not well covered. We don't know about most of them. These are people who are relatively hidden by the establishment and hidden by the news media.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, I think most of the listeners, or I would say pretty all the listeners, they appreciate very much about the work you are doing. And we have to do at our end whatever we can to spread the message.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
That's what we're doing. Let's work together.
Thank you,
Werner.
Thank you.
All righty. We have a break coming up, and when we get back from the break, we will take another call, Jim from Kansas. But it's very interesting that the people who were leaving Ireland because of this horrible deliberate genocide were actually helped by an organization called the British Relief Association. And maybe we can talk about that after we come back from the break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendivite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendivite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Christopher Fogarty. His website is irishholocaust.org. And I hope that the listeners will share this information with their friends and family. I think anybody with any drop of Irish blood would want to know about this. Jim in Kansas has been hanging on for a while. Let's take Jim. Jim, welcome back. Welcome to the program.
And one of Alex Jones' videos about false flag operations, he says that there's, or whether he says it or he quotes somebody who says that the actual members of the IRA, the super secret ones that actually do the bombing and the killing and stuff, are, there's only about 10 of them, and they're like commandos in the British Army, and that this has set off an avalanche of activity or something, and it just feeds on itself, and it keeps the police state, so they can have a police state wherever they want to send a bunch of troops or something. Oh, we got to do this for safety. Well, anyway, I'll hang up and let the your guest answer off the air while I,
Thank you, Jim.
Goodbye.
All of those bombs that were originally attributed through the news media to the IRA, all of them, almost without an exception, were later admitted by the British government to have been perpetrated by their forces. But as Colin Wallace, the disinformation specialist for Britain, once pointed out, it doesn't make any difference what the truth is. It's the first reported explanation of an event is the one that sticks. All the subsequent corrections never quite register. So he says, get the word, get the British word out first. And that seems to have had an effect on you, Jim, in that you attribute to the IRA the crimes, the bombings, that the British government initially attributed to the IRA, but then over a period of time finally acknowledged were perpetrated by their own forces. The one exception to that is the Omagh bombing. That was an IRA bomb that was a group that was infiltrated by MI5, Britain's MI5, that's Military 5, and they turned it into an atrocity. Now, to achieve that atrocity, they had to hide the tape of the phone call, the warning phone call that was sent in. They had to hide the logbook on which that phone call was transcribed. They had to hide Paddy Dixon, the owner of the bomb car, who was working for the British government. And they had to hide the results of the surveillance from the air by satellite of every movement of that bomb car. And that was done by the U.S. government, the surveillance from the air. But the Paddy Dixon had been kept under wraps because he's the owner of the car. And if the public were to learn that he was working for the government while he rented them the car with all of the radio transmitting equipment attached, the jig would be up. So that's all of that has to be continued to be kept covered up in order to continue blaming the IRA for the Omagh bombing. But all the other major ones, the Dublin Monaghan bombings, the Bloody Sunday, the McGurk pub, so many others, were all originally said to be IRA atrocities, and only much, much later accepted by the British. But however, even when the British government accepts that their own troops perpetrated these genocide, these atrocities, they don't prosecute them. They give their apologies. Blair and now Cameron apologizing, but never prosecuting. That's my comment on that.
Wow, thank you. And Jim did say that that this report came from Alex Jones. That was his source. Getting back to the 1840s, it's my understanding that the North had a difficult time getting cheap labor, as there were insufficient people willing to work for what the elite wanted to pay in their upcoming industrial, growth. And so on January 1st, 1847, in the city of London, Baron Lionel D. Rothschild, banker Thomas Baring, and Samuel Jones Lloyd, a Manchester banker, met under the auspices of the British Relief Association, established to determine how to help the starving Irish. Starvation and imminent death, with Rothschild's assistance, motivated them to leave their beloved Ireland. Half of all Irish immigrants disembarked at New York, where they conveniently met the needs of the labor-intensive economy. And from May 5, 1847, until the end of the year, a little over 7 months, 52,946 Irish arrived in New York, where they basically put them into Astor's tenements, which were just rat traps, and where they worked for a dollar a day, and if they got hurt, they were out on the street.
Yes, it's interesting that today that these three gentlemen should be called, philanthropists. And that's Lloyd's, Baring's Bank, Baring of Baring's Bank. That's the bank that was taken down by the British trader in Singapore about 15 years ago, where he made some bad bets on commodities and took down the whole bank. That was the Queen of England's bank, Baring's Bank. And the third person, Rothschild, same thing. Today, in fact, I think that perhaps Goldman Sachs is probably associated with the Rothschilds today. There has been a coup, in my opinion, a financial coup of pretty much the Western world by Goldman Sachs. They're now running the government of Ireland. They're not elected, but they are overriding the elected Irish government. Their decisions are, and they have come in from Brussels to do that. Ex-Goldman Sachs people. Goldman Sachs people are running Greece, Italy, and I think they're moving into Spain. So now what we have now is a group of people, unelected, who are overriding the decisions made by the elected representatives of the people, and they're all Goldman Sachs.
Interesting. Well, just in New York, where the industrial jobs were located, just during those genocide years, notice I didn't say famine years, during those genocide years, about 650,000 Irish arrived just in New York.
Yes. That's about right. That's my understanding. Yes, and about 300,000, I believe, in Canada.
Yes.
And, go ahead.
Yes.
So, but however, as we now, as the numbers, my numbers are starting to permeate the community, the big lie operatives are starting to increase the numbers which they say successfully fled Ireland. Because they can't, so that's what's happening now. They used to say that up to 1 million, upwards of 1 million, they say, died. Well, as soon as you hear 1 million, you know they're part of the big lie effort. But then, because it's becoming difficult for them to deny the overall population loss, they have now recently started to increase the numbers which they say exported themselves, emigrated.
Sure. But I think it's very interesting that you have the same people who orchestrated the genocide and who confiscated all of the food also had investments in this country and possibly in Canada where they were wanting cheap labor. I think that's kind of a coincidence, don't you?
Yes, I do indeed. By the way, in 1776, after the whites could no longer be enslaved under the American system as opposed to the British, the British government stopped sending its Irish and Scottish slaves to America and started sending them to Australia. And they set up the planters down there, and they just started doing the same thing down there. And they sent indentured servants, seven-year slave labor, 7, 14, or 21-year unpaid labor. And in addition, with more time added to pay for the cost of shipping you out. So that's what was done to so-called felons from England, Ireland, and Scotland in those years. And
what constituted a felon?
Everything, even from the stealing of a handkerchief. It's just shocking what was considered. And they sent out children as young as 7 years of age as felons. 7, 8, 9, many 10, 11 were sent out, Irish children sent out to slave labor as children. I think a lot of them were sent out, young women in particular were sent out to planters for their sexual gratification, both girls and boys, little children. And in fact, about 30,000 each were sent from Ireland to the Caribbean and another 30,000 to the Carolinas. But all that ended in 1776. So the American Revolution, at least for the Irish, was a fantastic, wonderful deed, and because conditions would have continued had that not occurred.
Oh, what a terrible... You know, you don't think of sex trafficking happening in that time period, but it has always been a factor.
Yes.
Always.
Yes. So the shipments to Australia ended in 1887. They started in 1878, and they ended in 1887. And that's when the last shipments of so-called felons were shipped out there. That itself was... Well, that's another complete story, but the story of the Irish under British rule is 840 years, essentially, of varying intent, of genocide of varying intensity. And it's there's only a vestige of it remaining now in occupied Ireland. But there are people, there's about 100 prisoners there, not political prisoners, with no charges of any kind, but just locked up, Jerry McGough and Marion, oh my God. My head is gone. But approximately 100. We sent out some 90-some Christmas cards to them this last Christmas, and we tend to get back replies from them. It's desperately sad. There seems to be nobody in the Republic of Ireland government seems to be willing to stand up and say, what's going on here? Why are these people? And what's more, they're being tortured because they speak out against injustice, and that is the fate for truth-telling in under British rule. But the Irish government, there's a few politicians are standing up, including the grandson of De Valera, Eamon O'Keefe, and he's now standing up for a few of them, but a whole lot more should get together. Those who participated in the sellout, the ex-IRA men who participated in selling out to the British, the very object of contention, the jurisdiction over the six counties, they're now completely under British control, and the Constitution of Ireland has had its Articles 2 and 3 changed in order to accommodate that handover of the Ireland's northeastern six counties to the British control. So they're gone now, and the maps have been changed to reflect that.
Unbelievable.
Yes, it is.
All righty. Let's take Larry in Louisiana. Larry, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. What's the story in Ireland, the Stone of Scone, the Queen of England's coronation stone, was that stolen from Ireland? Was it in Ireland in the first place and then went to Scotland and then went to England? Does it really belong to Ireland?
Well, it might. It's my contention that if you look along those lines, it would belong to Ireland. It was, then it was moved over to the island of Iona, which was the place where the Scottish kings were crowned and were also buried for a long time. Scotland had been taken by Ireland around the time of Christ, and the Pictish people were overcome by Gaelic people, and the place names were adopted all their current Gaelic names. But and then the British came, when the English took Scotland, they took it down. I must say, I do not concern myself with those symbolic things. I know that they do represent control in many cases, and to that extent, I guess one must pay attention. But I don't pay a whole lot of attention in political matters to genealogy, bloodlines, DNA, or the old mythology.
Okay, let me ask you if you can verify. An old Catholic nun told me that every year in my town in Ireland, there is a parade of Catholics that goes down the street, and the Protestants throw trash on them, old garbage, rotten eggs and things like that. Can you verify that story?
Yes, that would be true, almost certainly in the north. For about 4 years, the children going to Holy Cross School just outside Belfast were attacked by people throwing urine-filled balloons and all things. Little kids. In fact, it was a girls' school, and the parents would try to rush them past this gauntlet of people throwing stones and everything at them. And that went on for years, and it got some press for a while, but that seems to be tapering off now. The British government have backed off the stuff that gives them their worst headlines and are concentrating on just locking up people now without charge.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Larry. All righty. I have an email from Tom, and he would like to know if you have read The Dirty War by Martin Dillon. And this book really gives insight into the M15, M16 IRA operations in Northern Ireland.
Yes, I happen to have the copy of that book. I haven't read it recently. It's been some years since I read it. But it's written by an insider who doesn't find a whole lot wrong with what he had been doing. And I see him as one of the traitors. And so that's my opinion of his work. There are other books written by, for example, Holroyd and others, who objected to what was being done there to the Irish by British forces. And they seem to make sense to me. It's not that the Irish have invaded Britain and are terrorizing British cities. It's the other way around. I'd be on the British side if the IRA were committing in Britain what the British forces are committing in the Ireland's six counties. It's a matter of right and wrong. And so Dillon's work is interesting, but it's hugely biased. He's very powerfully on the British side.
Interesting. Another listener, Joe, says, how dysfunctional are the British aristocracy? Are they not perpetrating a continuing genocide of the British and Irish peoples by opening the borders to unlimited third world immigration, oppress the Irish but then give benefits to the immigrants? When the third world immigrants become the majority, does anyone believe they will respect British royalty? What are your thoughts?
I'd be surprised if the aristocracy would be the main culprits there. I would think that it's the general mass of population who have been led to believe that they should be open-bordered for philanthropic reasons or just reasons of Christian brotherhood. I think it's more in that line. I don't think it's an intentional national suicide by the aristocracy. I am inclined to not believe that.
And, of course, doesn't this unlimited immigration create a lot of chaos and resentment? I know in this country we have this issue, of course, on the southern borders. And, I believe that the immigration policies in the United States are designed to create animosity and a multicultural situation, which is not a very good situation.
No, in fact, our national character will tend to change, in my opinion, with free immigration. I think it's a mistake. On the other hand, it's the American people became great, though, from all different kinds of backgrounds, because it was not based on genetics or ethnicity, but was based on an idea. This idea is developing from the U.S. Constitution. And it seems if the people coming in were to fully grasp the United States Constitution and what it really means, that maybe we would not have, we might not have the problem that we seem to be facing.
All righty, Christopher, we do have to take a break. We'll be right back, and we'll pick it up on the other side of the break.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Our guest today has been Christopher Fogarty. His website is IrishHolocaust.org. And you know, most of the original settlers came from Britain, Scotland, Wales, Holland, and Germany. And they brought with them a particular cultural and political ideal, such as self-reliance and the desire for a limited, non-intrusive government. And so, you know, those original settlers shaped a society where people and not the state held a sovereign power. And the country was English-speaking, and the government intentionally restricted and regulated immigration to maintain a certain ethnic balance. And then after the socialist upheaval in 1848 and along in conjunction with the genocide in Ireland, you had a lot of socialists come in. You had also in about 1854 with the California gold rush and whatnot, you had a lot of Chinese come in. And so the country, the culture began to change. And so you have a lot of diversity that is not typically found in countries such as Ireland, where you just have basically one ethnic group.
Yes. I must say that in the changes going on today, we all have opinions. And I must, because the work I'm doing on the starvation of Ireland is so clearly a genocide, I try to stay with irrefutable facts. But when we start talking about current immigration policy in the States, one part of that is pure fact, and then other parts are opinions. And I prefer to stay within the area of completely verifiable fact. And you've said nothing but facts so far as I know, but I'm not adequately informed on the laws of our times regarding immigration or the demographics of our time to have a useful response to it, because all I could do is give an off the top of my head opinion, and that I don't think that would be helpful.
I really like you.
Well, thank you very much.
I think that's wonderful that you have those standards, and I really look forward to purchasing your book. The things that you have on your website, and the fact that you've gone to the official facility to look at these records and to verify your facts, that is very impressive.
Well, thank you very much.
Very impressive, and I'm just delighted that you could join me today, and I hope that you will come back, and maybe we could meet at some point in time since we're relatively close to each other.
Yes. Congratulations on your wonderful show.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I have some wonderful guests. It's the guests that make the program. It's I just find some very wonderful people such as yourself who are doing some very courageous things, and I'm just a facilitator here. So,
I'm a spokesperson for the murdered millions. So I think we have similar drives, similar motivations.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Christopher.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you tomorrow.